It is Selection Sunday, or I guess now it's 6 minutes after that. Sunday turns into Monday, but the madness, it will begin. And certainly there's always questions, hardest brackets, and helping you fill out your brackets. And I know you need the knowledge at this time of year. And who better to give it to you to break down the brackets than our very own college basketball insider, WFAN's college basketball insider, John Rothstein, also from CBS Sports, also from FanRags. This time of year, one of the hardest working men in showbiz, John Rothstein. Welcome to the program. Hey, John, how are you?
Happy holidays to you.
It is. And I assume you don't mean Purim or Passover. You're looking at March Madness.
The NCAA tournament, the greatest show in sports.
All right, so let's start off with this year. What surprised you, if anything, with the brackets? What surprised you this year?
You know, Lori, it was really interesting to me that Virginia was the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament, won 31-2, won the ACC regular season and tournament title, and then wound up in a region that had Arizona as a 4 and Kentucky as a 5. Kentucky and Arizona both playing their best basketball of the season. They are more on a parallel right now with a 2 seed than a 4 or a 5. That is a brutal, brutal draw for Tony Bennett and company.
All right, the John Rothstein College Basketball Insider Report, powered by 5-Hour Energy Brackets today at 5hourenergybrackets.com, where you can change your picks live during each tournament game. Very exciting stuff out of me. I'm with you. I thought that Virginia, as the number one overall seed, that is a brutal bracket. If we were going to give it a name, can we call that one the bracket of defense? If I look at that one with Virginia and Cincinnati and Kentucky and even Arizona playing better defense lately, Is that, if you're looking at stuff to watch in that bracket, is that the bracket of great defense?
I have named that bracket the region of grit, because in addition to the teams you mentioned, you also have Cincinnati as your 2 seed, coached by Mick Cronin, and also on top of that, the 3 seed is Tennessee, coached by Rick Barnes, another great defensive team. So between those 5 teams right there, those 5 teams highlighting the region of grit.
Now, does that, in a strange way, benefit a team like Virginia? Virginia obviously had a brilliant regular season here, now and ACC tournament, getting to the, this 1 seed, but they're a team we've been waiting for them to break through in the NCAA tournament and have that kind of success that validates what Tony Bennett's been doing with this program. Does it help him that he is in this, if you want to make an argument that he's in a bracket with a lot of other kind of gritty, maybe it'll be a little lower scoring teams in this bracket?
Well, the team that's going to be able to beat Virginia is going to be a team that can go over the top of the defense, because Virginia does not allow you the opportunity to be in a situation where you can get easy baskets. So I look at some teams right now that have the firepower to put points on the board, like a Kentucky, mm-hmm. who has a player like a Kevin Knox, like obviously in Arizona that could have a guy like DeAndre Ayton at 7-1 step outside and go over the top of the defense. I think those teams have a chance to outscore Virginia. And I think the teams at the bottom end of that bracket, the region of grit with Tennessee and Cincinnati, their teams, and this is not obviously an aberration, they could play Virginia in a regional final and it could be a 40-39 game.
Talking to John Rothstein about the NCAA tournament, and as I looked around, if there's a seeding that you could complain about, as long as we're in this bracket, is Kentucky the team that maybe has the biggest complaint about their seeding as a number 5 seed with the trajectory they're on and coming off of just having won the SEC tournament?
Well, to me, Kentucky and Arizona in that region have a situation where they can both be frustrated about everything that, they went through in terms of the seeding. And I think John Calipari expected, for all intents and purposes, his basketball team to have a rough seed from the NCAA, because this has happened time and time again. Mm-hmm. Look at what Kentucky had to go through the last couple of years.
Yep.
2 years ago, remember, they were in a 4-5 game with Indiana. They lost in the round of 32. Last year, what happened? Kentucky was in the situation where who did it play in the round of 32? Wichita State. Who did it play in the Sweet 16? Lonzo Ball and UCLA. Right. And then, on top of that, who did Kentucky play when it got to a regional final? North Carolina. That is an arduous road when you're talking about trying to get to a Final Four. But, you know, John Calipari right now has won a national title. He's in the Hall of Fame. If he didn't have the opportunity to wake up with his back against the wall, I don't think he'd be too amused.
You know what? And now he gets to fly all the way out to Boise. By the way, I was just having a little bit of a conversation with one of my listeners that if I know it doesn't sound sexy from a weather standpoint, but if I'm picking one place to fly and travel and watch some games, Boise. Give me Boise.
You're feeling Boise.
Absolutely. I love all the matchups. I love the teams that you get to see. I think that would be fun. All right, so we got the region of grit with the South. Now talk to me. How about, give me a name, you know, which one is the region of, are you going with the region of death, your most difficult? Is that the Midwest? Where's your region of death? What's your most
difficult?
Well,
if we go down our bracket right now, we have the West region with Xavier as the one, and we are going to be in a situation where you have the region of balance because you have so many different teams that could be in a situation, obviously, to go to a Final Four. Xavier is your one. Gonzaga is your four. You also have a scenario where you have a 4-5 matchup with Gonzaga and Ohio State, and then you have a scenario where in the bottom of that region, you've got North Carolina as a 2 and Michigan, maybe the hottest team in the country, as a 3, but there is no real scenario where you've got, you know, a clear-cut winner in that region. That's why it's the region of balance.
All right, you mentioned, I know, in the region of grit, in a lot of ways, Mick Cronin kind of embodying a lot of that region, a coach I know you think very highly of. In this Western region, the region of balance, how about John Beilein and the job he's done with Michigan? And I just think of Beilein as a guy who, you know, just seems to have an ability to get teams playing better come this time of year.
Well, John Beilein's teams always get better throughout the course of the season. And I think, you know, one thing you need to look at, and this is really important, is player development has always been paramount in John Beilein's program. He's been in the scenario where at West Virginia, he was the same way, and it's carried over to Michigan. And the big thing that's changed with this Michigan team is really just the evolution of Xavier Simpson. Xavier Simpson was somebody who, you know, came into the season. A lot of people wondered whether or not he would be able to handle the starting point guard role, and look at what he's done.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we've got the region of grit. We've got the region of balance and Beilein there. All right, so give it to me. How about, I mean, to me, Villanova, I hate to say it, but I'm calling the East the easy pass. I think Villanova, out of all four of these, they have an easy route to the Final Four.
Well, to me, this is the region of stewardship right now because you have great point guards all across, you know, this region. You've got Jalen Brunson from Villanova. You've also got, you know, obviously Keenan Evans at Texas Tech, who's a 3. And then how about the point guards in that 4-5 area with West Virginia and Wichita State? You have got a scenario where you have got Javon Carter, obviously, at West Virginia, and then you've got Landry Shamet at Wichita State. If Villanova can get by that game in the round of 32 against Alabama, Virginia Tech, they've got a great chance to go back to a Final Four. I've got Villanova over Texas Tech in my regional final.
Yeah, you're talking about guards in that region. You didn't even mention Colin Sexton, who is, you know, maybe one of the most exciting players in the country.
There you go.
So
there you go.
There's a lot to like in that region. All right, so we have stewardship in the East. So, Leon Ami, what is the name that you've come up with? What's the Midwest bracket?
Royalty. Because you've got Duke, you've got Michigan State, and you've got Kansas as your top three seeds. The region of royalty.
All right. So now, region of royalty. And if I'm Kansas, I'm saying thank you very much because with the royalty here, is this seems Michigan State, you know, you mentioned Michigan State and Duke. This seems like, to me, the toughest of the four regions. I know there's a lot of good teams and a lot of balance elsewhere, but can you make the case this is the toughest region?
You know, I think Virginia's region is a little bit tougher for all intents and purposes, but you know, I think you could make the argument for sure just based on the star power and the Hall of Fame coaches you have in this region. I mean, let's face it right now, you have got three Hall of Fame coaches in this region, three coaches that have won national championships, but I think this is a clear path for Kansas to get to a regional final. The 4-5 in this region is not as strong, and I've got a sleeper for you. New Mexico State, right now, out of the whack to me, is the team, for all intents and purposes, that I think is going to really be the double-digit seed to get to the NCAA tournament, to get to the Sweet 16.
All right, so you gave me New Mexico State in that 5-12. How about another, whether it's a 4-13 or a 5-12, another, you know, as everybody's going to be filling out their brackets, they want your advice. What's another one of those double digits that, you feel can hang around and, pull an upset?
Well, you know, it's interesting when you really look at this because it's so fickle, but I think Loyola of Chicago has a chance against Miami right now in the round of 64. They're a team that obviously had success under Porter Moser. They've won a high major game already this season against Florida. So I think, you know, when you look at Loyola of Chicago, they've won. They have the requisites to win a game in the round of 64. To me, that's a team that I think really has a chance to advance.
Talking to John Rothstein about the NCAA tournament, and is there is there a player that you would look at? Give me somebody that you think is an X factor type of player who could put a team on his back and carry them to a long run. I'm not saying a la Kemba Walker to a title, but is there somebody that you think is getting hot at the right time and could really carry a team on a longer run?
DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton is the best player in the NCAA tournament.
So he's
that, you know, I don't think there's any doubt about it right now. I mean, I think you look at DeAndre Ayton, he's somebody that, you know, has a chance to be a once in a generation type player and a perennial NBA All-Star.
All right, so if we're looking for a Danny and the Mannings, somebody that's going to carry a team, and, in that case more as a big man, DeAndre Ayton would be that guy. And from a coaching standpoint, how about somebody that's a little bit, you know, we know all the big name guys, but how about somebody who's a little under the radar that you think does a great job as a tournament coach?
Well, you know, I think you're always looking for people to emerge during the NCAA tournament. That's something that, you know, you really always try to figure out. But that is kind of what is, makes this month so special. You have, obviously, different people who can come to the forefront. Obviously, nobody knew about Shaka Smart before 2011 when he took TCU on that journey.
And in terms of teams potentially that got left out or, you know, somebody got in, you know, anything that was curious for you, I know one that I was talking to somebody earlier about was just Oklahoma State not being in, beating Kansas, you know, the one seed twice. And then you look at Oklahoma, I understand they have Trae Young, but losing 8 of 10 games and getting in, did any of that strike you as being a little bit off?
No, but I think one thing that people need to look at is it's the overall body of work with Oklahoma. It's not what they did, obviously, recently. Oklahoma earned equity early. It won games at Wichita State. It beat Kansas. It beat Texas Tech. And it swept TCU. It's not what you did in the last month of the season. It's what you did over the course of the season. That's why I expected Oklahoma to get in. Notre Dame, to me, deserved to be in ahead of Syracuse. They played Syracuse without Bonzi Colson and Matt Farrell at the Carrier Dome, won the game. Syracuse, to me, did not resemble an NCAA tournament team the entire season. I was shocked that the committee opted to go with Syracuse over Notre Dame.
Yeah, you know, of course, that means because we have such low expectations of Syracuse, they'll turn around and, you know, do something and go on a little mini run here.
Absolutely.
John Rothstein, always, appreciate doing the segment with you. We'll catch up with you down the road. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Lori. Happy holidays.
All right, you too. John Rothstein's College Basketball Insider Report brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Brackets today. There have been some great moments so far in March Madness Tournament. One great shot deserves another, so grab a 5-Hour Energy and get back to 100% for all the games still to come. And visit 5HourEnergyBrackets.com for more madness and more fun.